There is something fitting about the title, Honky Tonk, a phrase that evokes dim lights, cigarette smoke, and the restless hum of nightlife, for a film that has itself slipped into the shadows of history. Directed by Lloyd Bacon, a prolific craftsman of early Hollywood, who would later become associated with muscular Warner Brothers productions, the film stands as one of those vanished artifacts from the transitional years of American cinema, when the industry was still discovering its voice, literally and figuratively. This is Land of the Lost, Honky Tonk. At the center of Honky Tonk was Sophie Tucker, already a formidable presence on stage and screen. Known as the last of the Red Hot Mamas, Tucker brought with her a persona that blurred the line between performance and personality. Her voice, brassy and unapologetic, had made her a star in vaudeville. An early sound film offered her a natural extension of that reach. Though much of the film itself is lost, it is not difficult to imagine how Tucker's larger-than-life energy would have shaped its tone, likely anchoring the narrative in the world of music, nightlife, and emotional excess that her public image embodied. Alongside her appeared Lila Lee, whose career traced a different arc through Hollywood's evolution. Lee had been a silent film ingenue, associated with a softer, more classical style of screen acting. By the time Honky Tonk was produced, she was navigating the uncertain terrain that the arrival of sound created for many silent-era performers. Her presence in the film suggests a contrast, perhaps intentional, between Tucker's bold theatricality and Lee's more restrained, traditional screen appeal, a pairing that may have reflected the broader tensions within the industry at the time. Like many films from the late 1920s and early 1930s, Honky Tonk exists now more as a ghost than a tangible work. The fragile nitrate stock on which it was printed, combined with the industry's early indifference to preservation, ensured that countless productions simply disintegrated or were discarded. In this context, the film's disappearance is not unusual, but it remains poignant. Each lost title represents not only a missing story, but a missing piece of cultural texture, a glimpse into how audiences of the era experienced entertainment, identity, and escapism. What lingers instead are fragments, cast lists, promotional materials, and the reputations of those involved. Through them, Honky Tonk can be partially reconstructed in the imagination as a vehicle that likely leaned into the raw, performative vitality suggested by its title. It may have captured a slice of nightlife that was both glamorous and rough-edged, filtered through the sensibilities of early sound filmmaking, when dialogue and music were still novelties to be exploited. The loss of the film also underscores how uneven the historical record can be. While some works are endlessly restored and revisited, others, often no less representative of their time, fade completely from view. For performers like Tucker and Lee, whose careers bridged major shifts in the industry, such missing films leave gaps that can never quite be filled, complicating any full understanding of their artistic journeys. In the end, Honky Tonk survives less as a film than as an echo, a title that conjures atmosphere without offering images, a collaboration between notable figures that can only be inferred rather than experienced. Its absence is a reminder of how much of early cinema remains irretrievably out of reach, and how the history of film is as much about what has been lost as what endures.